You are listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Presumably, every one of us eats some kind of processed food in the course of a day, or at least in the course of a week. Tucson writer Megan Kimball decided that she would go one full year without doing that, and she chronicled her efforts in the new book, Unprocessed. Megan, how would you explain what unprocessed food really is?
All food is processed. Cooking is a kind of process. So is, you know, chopping up a vegetable. That's a sort of process. And so I started out thinking, okay, if all food is processed, what makes food too processed? So we all kind of understand the difference between an apple and a bag of cheddar Chex Mix. What's the difference? Where do we draw the line? And so where I drew the line for my year was if I could theoretically make a food in my home kitchen, then I decided it was unprocessed. So I didn't necessarily ferment grapes into wine, but I could have had I invested in the equipment.
You were visiting your folks. Mm-hmm. You went out to the beach and you filled up these jugs with salt water. Describe that as you did in the book. And then what was the point? And then once you got home, what did you and your mom do?
So I made salt. My parents live outside Los Angeles, so I went and collected a bunch of salt water off the coast of Malibu and did what people have done for thousands of years, which is just evaporate the liquid from the solid and you're left with salt. And the reason I did that was to sort of attempt to understand, you know, you read any ingredient label in a supermarket and there are so many things on that label, chemicals and additives, that it's really hard to understand, like, where do those things come from? And so I was trying to understand the difference between, you know, a quote-unquote natural additive like salt and something that you would have to manufacture in a laboratory. And to me, proving that I could kind of make salt, quote-unquote, you know, I didn't make it, I extracted it, showed that there is a difference between those things.
What kind of diet did you have before the year? And I mean, were you really conscious of what you were eating, and not that you're measuring stuff and not saying, okay, I want this much protein or this much that, but did you think to yourself, okay, you know, a couple days a week I can have like a big sloppy burger or some ice cream or whatever it is, or was it just sort of as it came? You weren't that conscious of what you were doing?
I was pretty conscious, I think, in terms of, you know, the spectrum of people. You know, I was raised by two vegetarians, so my mom cooks, and so I've always known how to cook. I've always been engaged with food, but I also, once I started sort of examining what I was eating, I realized that I was eating a lot of stuff with a lot of additives and chemicals. You know, I had been eating for a long time a lot of quote-unquote diet food, so, you know, low-fat cheese and low-sugar yogurt and all that kind of weird stuff you can find in the supermarket. And once I started, or low-carb bread, that stuff is crazy. Once you start looking on that ingredient label to find out what's in those foods that they say natural on the label, and then you turn them around and you're like, well, what's in it? It was astonishing to find out all the variety of chemicals I was eating.
We get different messages from the world at large. You know, there are things about, okay, do you read the ingredients on the back of whatever you buy? There are some big cities trying to get rid of, you know, the supersized soda or whatever it is. Did you find that if we actually think about these things, but I'm saying sort of before the urine process, during, and then after, did you find that basically if you approach things in a way that, okay, you're not eating horrible things and you're not forcing yourself to eat stuff you really don't like, there is a way to find balance in this?
Totally. That was one of the things that drew me to the idea of unprocessed eating, was to find balance. You know, our world is full of processed food and all of these, you know, varying messages about nutrition, what we should eat to make us healthy, what has the most antioxidants. And it's really overwhelming. And what I wanted to do was to find a way to eat that was sane. And then I didn't, you know, once I sort of set up the parameters, I eat whatever I want within the context of unprocessed. And I'm always full. I feel like I eat really good food. It's, you know, satisfying and tasty. And so I think that kind of you have to find within that realm of processed, unprocessed, what makes sense for your life. You know, I'm not saying that everyone needs to go out and grind their own wheat, but maybe read the ingredient label of a bread that you're buying. Maybe try to find a bread from a local baker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that there's a spectrum of things that people can do.
There are going to be some people who I think are concerned from, let's say, an income point of view, like people who middle to upper class might be able to afford something that other people can't. Did you think, based on the year of doing this, that if you're conscious of it, if you have the time to think about it and you make the right decisions, that it doesn't matter what income level, or does it help to be able to, because, you know, we always hear about organics, and organics are always more expensive at the supermarket than the regular stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly helps if you make more money, but I, you know, when I started my year, I was making $18,000 a year. I was a graduate student, and so I had to figure out a way to buy whole organic local foods on a budget.
Yeah.
And I think it's totally doable. You do certainly have to spend a little bit more time and energy thinking about it and planning. You know, planning is a huge part of it. Of, you know, if you make a big pot of dried beans for the week, that costs you like $3. You just have to remember to do it at the beginning of the week rather than going out to lunch, for example. So I think that it's certainly accessible on a budget. And, you know, I found it to be really affordable because processed food, you eat a lot more of it because it's not satisfying, and that's expensive.
Did your friends think you were crazy?
Yeah.
Did you think you were crazy?
Yeah. I remember when I started the year feeling a lot of anxiety about telling people about my unprocessed project of like, I've decided to do this crazy thing. And a lot of people reacted like my brother-in-law did, who said, well, wait, all food's processed. That's not a real thing. You know, and I definitely learned a lot by sort of talking to people at the beginning of my year of like, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think? And so gauging people's reactions definitely helped me sort of charter my path through the year. But, you know, I was lucky to have a really good group of friends who, you know, when I would go out to eat and ask 1,000 questions of the waiter, you know, they were very patient and accommodating with me.
Did a year sound like it was going to be a lot, and did it end up feeling like a lot?
Yeah, it was a lot. I chose a year because it seemed like long enough that I would have to change my habits. I would have to figure out new ways of being and eating in the world. But, you know, it's not forever. I could have a chocolate chip cookie at some point, and I did once my year ended. But it was a good amount of time to sort of dig into these issues.
For a lot of people, when it comes to dieting, they're really focused on a certain number when they get on the scale. And I was curious to say, before you went into unprocessed and then after the year of doing that, I mean, were you someone who was, I'm not saying conscious of how you look, because we're all conscious of that, but actually conscious of certain numbers that, okay, I weighed this before this, I expect that after unprocessed, I might lose weight because the stuff's pure. Or any, did you have perceptions like that? And how did it pan out at the end?
Yeah, I was certainly one of those people who paid attention to the number on the scale and kind of fretted about it and worried about what I was eating, how that impacted it. And part of the reason I actually did unprocessed was to stop worrying about that, you know, to sort of inhabit my body of like, do I feel the same way? Not does the number say that, but do I feel, you know, like I fit in my body. And it really did do that. I stopped weighing myself. And I sort of was able to step away from that weight number and kind of feel like, do I feel full? Do I feel like I have energy? Do I feel like I fit in my clothes? Those really seem to be the only matters of import to me.
Would your definition of comfort food, has it changed from beginning of this process to the end of it?
Yeah, it definitely has changed. Now that my year has ended, I'm probably at about 90% unprocessed, and it's really nice to have that 10% of like, well, I will say I have always loved chocolate chip cookies, and I continue to love chocolate chip cookies. So that has not changed. And so it's really nice to be able to sort of like have that on a Sunday, or like go out to dinner with friends and, you know, have pizza if that's what people are having, and sort of engage in that social aspect of food is something that was really hard during my year to have to be so strict about. Mm-hmm. And it's nice now to sort of engage in the spontaneous side of eating.
Megan Kimball is the author of Unprocessed. Megan, thank you.
Thank you.